doing reps with the weight of the world.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about this?
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This entire show is dedicated to anti-aging. During the first hour, we're going to be talking about a cell protein that offers hope in perhaps combating the aging process on a cellular basis with Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty. And then during the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Robert Willicks, who recently published a book called Healthy and Disease-Free at 100. He is not only a proponent of anti-aging medicine, but he is a benefactor. You'll hear his story. You'll be very, very impressed. Before we get started, I got to mention something. Those of you who live in the UK that listen to the show, Thrive Advanced Protein is now available through Predator Nutrition to everyone in the EU and in Canada. Go to PredatorNutrition.com and search for Thrive Advanced. They have great, great prices, and they're shipping is very, very inexpensive. So check that out. So without further ado, let's get started. Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello.
Yes, hello, and thanks for being here today. So you recently published a study that looked at a cell protein that may offer new hope in fighting the effects of aging. Talk about this. What questions needed to be answered? Why this particular study?
This particular protein we happened across during a study where we were looking to see whether mitochondria, the energy producers in the cell, are different in young tissues versus older tissues. We have this preconception or this idea that mitochondria are mitochondria are mitochondria, but we wanted to know, do they change as we get older? So there's some idea of mitochondrial dysfunction, but we wanted to pinpoint exactly with how those organelles are changing. The other thing that we're really interested in were, I'm particularly interested in the brain and neurodegeneration and aging, but also there's this interplay between activity, general physical activity, and brain health. And so sometimes it might seem like a chicken and egg situation where people end up as they get older with muscular wasting, sarcopenia perhaps, and that reduces their ability to get around, and maybe that impacts on their brain aging as well. So we looked at brain and muscle, but what we really wanted to know was, are the mitochondria the same in all the tissues, or are they the same at all different ages, or are they different, and how are they different?
You know, every time we talk about the mitochondria, I always ask the scientist, is there any way to tell how long it takes for mitochondria to turn over? The reason I say this is because if you have a dysfunctional mitochondria, you would hope that at some point in time, that mitochondria will be replaced or at least disposed of through the metabolic disposal mechanisms set aside for that. Do we know how long it takes for a mitochondria to kind of fizzle out and disappear?
I think that's a really good question. Unfortunately, there are a few questions even before that. And these are things that we sort of want to test as well, in that how do we know that a mitochondrion is actually dysfunctional? we know when it's really had it, but what are the steps leading to that dysfunction? When do we know that it's not functioning optimally? And when do we know that it's actually dysfunctional and not trying some kind of repair mechanism in between? There's so many steps before you actually need to sort of put it in the dustbin or, you know, trash it. So, you know, there's a fine line before we can actually decide how long it's going to take to replace a dysfunctional organelle. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Before we get into your study, you know, there's emerging research out there that shows that it's actually the mitochondria that becomes defective before cancer cells mutate, and that the mitochondria shifts to anaerobic respiration, which is one of the first domino, if you will, that changes on a cellular basis that then leads to the mutations that promote, let's say, a cancer growth. With that being said, in our environment today, we have a large number of people that are highly insulin resistant. What role does this insulin resistant population play in changes in the mitochondria that we're seeing today that we may not have seen 100 years or even 200 years ago?
Ooh, there are lots of questions in there, I think. So you're asking about insulin resistance and how that interplays with mitochondrial health and how that mitochondrial health might then lack of mitochondrial health might then lead to a cancer developing.
Or even just a dysfunctional mitochondria before it even becomes cancer, but it becomes dysfunctional.
Yeah, so I think a lot of these questions now are coming up because we're one of the luckiest generations in that we have this huge long lifespan that we expect to, you know, be able to live out.
Mm-hmm.
And up until, well, even 100 years ago, people didn't necessarily expect to live to the ages that we're living now. And so mitochondrial dysfunction and the effect on the mitochondria of things, of diseases of aging, such as metabolic syndrome, diabetes, even cancer is considered to be a disease of aging. These diseases just weren't around before because we just didn't get to these ages before. Your question about the sort of switching of energy utilization or energy production in the cell in cancer is also another really interesting angle that actually our work probably impinges on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this protein that we haven't mentioned yet, but carbonic anhydrase, it's actually quite interesting in the context of cancer as well. And so, you know, that again ties the mitochondrial element into cancer, neurodegeneration, and diseases of aging.
So let's talk about your research. Talk about your study. How was the study designed?
So on the face of it, it's a really very straightforward, simple study. We had two tissues, brain and muscle. So this is skeletal muscle. It was from the, you know, quadriceps, essentially.
Right.
We took that from healthy, normal, healthy mice, aged about 8 weeks for the younger cohort and about 78 weeks, about 18 months for the older cohort. Now, that 18 months, 70-something weeks, actually corresponds to middle age in humans. So it's not really an old mouse, it's a middle-aged mouse. And this was sort of intentional because we really wanted to see what's happening early in the aging process where there might be protective mechanisms kicking in and where actually there hasn't been a lot of cell death or a lot of cell loss. So we can still see cells with mitochondria in them and the mitochondria changing. So we have these four populations of mitochondria. We isolated the mitochondria from the tissues, from the brain and muscle, from young and old mice. And then we used this technique called 2D gel electrophoresis, where we were able to separate out all the proteins in these four different sample preparations. And we were able to compare the pattern of these protein spots on a gel with each other. And so then we were able to tell, when we compared the young brain to the older brain gels with the spots on them, which of these spots were bigger. There seemed to be a higher quantity of protein in those spots. And we could send those off and get them sequenced and identify the proteins. So we did that for brain and muscle, and we came up with a list of proteins that were, you know, present in different quantities, differentially expressed in these two tissues with age. And then we go through and confirm some of these individual proteins. And actually what we found was that carbonic anhydrase 2, which is a more brain-specific carbonic anhydrase, and carbonic anhydrase 3, a different isoform of carbonic anhydrase, which is a muscle-specific carbonic anhydrase, both of these seem to be increased in quantity in the older mitochondrial sample, both in brain and muscle. And we thought this was really interesting. And so the next step, so there are other proteins as well, but we decided to follow up with this carbonic anhydrase story. And sometimes when you have excess protein, it just means that it's dysfunctional and it's building up and it's perhaps causing a blockage mm-hmm. in the cell. So what we wanted to find out is, we've got more of carbonic anhydrase, is it actually functioning? And so we took mitochondrial extracts and we measured the activity of carbonic anhydrase, because it's an enzyme. We were able to measure its activity, and we were able to see that not only is there more carbonic anhydrase, but it has a higher activity in the older mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very interesting. Often we think that, you know, as tissues or as things get older, they stop functioning and you have reduced function, but we actually have a higher level of function. What we then did was we wanted to see, well, is this a protective mechanism? Are the mitochondria gearing up carbonic anhydrase production to protect the cell and the mitochondria? So we moved our attention to a mouse model of neurodegeneration. It's called Purkinje cell degeneration. It's a spontaneously occurring mutant, so it happens naturally. In these mice, and they have a very early onset neurodegeneration. So they're actually young mice, but with a neurodegenerative phenotype.
Hmm.
And so we thought, if we look to see if carbonic anhydrase is changed in these, then we'll know whether it's an effect of just old age and perhaps a protective mechanism, or whether it's really associated with this with the decline of cellular health. And so we looked in the brain, particularly in the cerebellum, because that's the bit that's affected in the mutant mouse. So we looked in the cerebellum, and the retina is also affected in these mice. And also we found that carbonic anhydrase is increased in those two tissues.
Now,
we also looked at muscle. Sorry?
Well, I want to stay with this just for a second, and then we'll talk about muscle in just one moment.
Yeah.
So the role of carbonic anhydrase seems to catalyze carbon dioxide and water into bicarbonate, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I've been reading a lot about the mitochondria from the role of a heavy water. Deuterated water, deuterium, which is a double bonded mm-hmm. hydrogen and oxygen, I believe, right? Isn't that what it is? Two oxygen, two
yeah.
hydrogen. Okay. So deuterated water becomes difficult for the mitochondria to process and break down and produce water from. The mitochondria likes to produce water, apparently. So this carbonic anhydrase seems to be the mediator of this water production by the mitochondria. Is that correct?
So a lot of biochemical reactions have a water as either, you know, something that goes into the reaction or is produced as a result of the reaction. Mitochondria are particularly active in using both oxygen and hydrogen ions. So they use oxygen and hydrogen ions to maintain the potential across the membrane and to create this gradient across the membrane, which acts like a pump effectively to allow the production of ATP. So there's a lot of water around, I think is the point that I'm trying to say. So it's difficult to connect this water to that water, I think,
okay,
at this point without doing a specific experiment to do that.
Okay, I want to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about skeletal muscle, okay? Because
yeah,
that's where you were going next. Okay, so we're going to take one quick commercial break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to mgnstore.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty about the role of a protein, carbonic anhydrase, and its effect on aging.
specifically mediated through mitochondrial function. So talk about skeletal muscle. What did you learn there? That's also a very interesting topic for us in this audience.
Yes. So we were interested in the brain and also in the skeletal muscle. And so I was telling you earlier about this Purkinje cell degeneration mouse that has this neurodegenerative phenotype. And we looked at carbonic anhydrase 2, and we found that in the cells that degenerate in the brain and the retina, the neurons, we see an increase in carbonic anhydrase 2, just as we did in aging. However, we also looked in the skeletal muscle of the PCD mice. Now, these mice don't have a muscle phenotype, so they have perfectly healthy, normal muscle. And we looked to see if the muscle-specific isoform, carbonic anhydrase 3, was also increased in the muscle. So is this just a global thing with the PCD mouse? And in fact, what we found was that in the skeletal muscle of the PCD mice, where we have a normal phenotype, we also have normal levels of carbonic anhydrase 3. And so then we were able to pinpoint this increase in carbonic anhydrase as something that goes with a degenerative phenotype and in aging is a potential marker for degeneration happening. And so even in those normal middle-aged mice, what we were seeing was something that was dysfunctional, mitochondrial dysfunction, and we could see through carbonic anhydrase levels that this was happening.
Interesting. So good, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to go on to the next experiment that we did.
Yes.
If you've got questions.
Yes, please. No, go on.
So the last experiment we did was we wanted to see if we could change lifespan just by using carbonic anhydrase. So if increased levels of carbonic anhydrase are bad for the mitochondria, then perhaps adding carbonic anhydrase at higher levels would reduce lifespan. And so what we did was we took nematode worms, so these are C. elegans. It's usually a genetic model that's used in the laboratory. They're a brilliant biological model. They're about a millimeter long. They're totally transparent, so we can see what's going on inside them. But the best thing about them for us is that if you put carbonic anhydrase on the plate that you grow them on, these are like Petri dishes, then they'll actually eat the carbonic anhydrase and react to it. And what we found was that a normal worm lives about 30 days. And then if we gave them increasing doses of carbonic anhydrase in their food or on their substrate, then they would have decreased lifespans in a dose-dependent manner. So the more carbonic anhydrase we gave them, the fewer days that they would live. So we had about 12 days lifespan all the way through up to about 20 days with carbonic anhydrase, but the normal lifespan is 30 days. And so we were able to show quite effectively, I think, that increases in carbonic anhydrase reduce lifespan in a living organism. And that's pretty much where we're at, or the point at which we published our data.
So we understand that pH gradients are what create the electrical charges inside and outside of cells. And we also know, well, I learned that carbonic anhydrase puts out bicarbonate as a byproduct of its function. And bicarbonate has the ability to alkalize or balance or raise pH, if you will. And there is a study that we talked about a couple years ago on the show. The author would not come on the show because he felt that his research wasn't thorough enough and that he was embarking on another study. But he published a study that said that sodium bicarbonate could actually be a powerful anti-aging compound.
Mm.
And so my question to you is it possible that the role of carbonic anhydrase is, in fact, to produce bicarbonate that would buffer and change the pH in the mitochondria to create these gradients, these charges. And as we age, the need for this pH altering becomes greater, and so the need for bicarbonate becomes greater, and the carbonic anhydrous is just trying to satisfy that role.
Absolutely, and we don't really know. We know that pH is really vitally important. It's very important, actually, for mitochondria as well, because with the electron transport chain for making ATP, if the pH isn't right in that in the environment of the mitochondria, it can't really do that. So bicarbonate as a sort of buffer, as a buffering agent, to sort of reduce, you know, extremes in pH, could be a really, really important, I guess, protective mechanism within the cell. And that's precisely right. And that's sort of why we wanted to look in middle age, because there's this constant interplay between protective mechanisms. The body's really, really good at protecting itself, bringing in sort of mechanisms to ameliorate, you know, minor or even more major changes and repair and all the rest of it. Being able to dissect out now which bit of it is protective and at which point that protective mechanism can by itself become harmful because it's run on too long or, you know, produce some other sort of knock-on effect. These are really the itty-bitty little questions that we need to pick out and answer now, I think.
See, and from an evolutionary perspective, I keep coming back to our mismatched environment, most specifically the abundance of caloric intake and sugars and the propensity to develop insulin resistance today. We know that one of the damning effects of insulin is that it starts to cause problems with absorption of calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, chloride, and these other minerals in and out of cells. And you know, I keep coming back to this notion that I wonder if you have someone, let's say mice or rodents, on a calorie-restricted diet, as they age, if the need for bicarbonate production isn't as high because they have better functionality on a cellular level because they don't have this buildup of metabolic debris. Autophagy is more prominent. The metabolic waste is being disposed of easier, and so they don't have this kind of bogged down, clogged up cellular landscape. And I would love to find out if something as simple as intermittent fasting and or calorie restriction would affect your discovery in a beneficial way.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, actually, that, you know, our environment is, or, you know, the abundance of food in many of our environments, not around the world, I guess, but in certain areas, must definitely be having an impact on mitochondrial health. And so caloric restriction has been shown to be, you know, a potential tool to dial that down. I think there's lots of different pieces of work. A colleague of mine, Reinhard Stoger, has published some work on epigenetic, a sort of thrifty epigenotype,
mm-hmm.
where we're actually set to, you know, make use of whatever comes our way. And through the generations, this has been set in such a way that it's become sort of, I think the term he uses is canalized. So it's set at a point where it's really difficult to move out of it and modulate it without big, big changes. So caloric restriction is a fairly sort of big change and can be achieved. Another possible way of affecting calories in versus calories out is also exercise.
Yeah.
And, of course, the link between mitochondria and aging, and also the very strong link between mitochondrial activity and exercise when we're thinking of skeletal muscle and also the brain. I think that's also a very attractive route into looking at, you know, modulating mitochondrial dysfunction with
age. And that's what I want to talk about specifically when we come out of the break. That's where I wanted to go. I want to go into exercise and activity, because we just did a show the other day that shows that taking off as little as 10 days from exercising changes cerebral blood flow in some very, very important areas of the brain associated with the development of dementia. You know, we forget that we are supposed to be moving all the time, and we don't do that anymore. And that, you know, I wrote a blog 7 years ago that the French paradox may not be the diet, but the fact that they walk to and from everywhere they go. And that may mitigate a lot of the damning effects of a bad diet. So let's take a break and let's come back and talk specifically about exercise. Stay tuned.
Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients, just like Quest Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty about the protein that was discovered in this research to affect the mitochondria and potentially extend life, at least in C. elegans, which is a worm that has some similar genetics to humans, quite frankly. So talk about exercise. We know that exercise affects mitochondrial biogenesis, size, even the number of mitochondria per cell. And this is one of those things that it's also dose dependent. The more intense and the longer, meaning years, that you train and exercise, you actually will end up with more mitochondria per cell. They will be larger and they seem to function better. So what's the role of exercise in this whole equation?
Well, I think it's undoubtedly a very important part of the equation. It's a very important part of brain health, as you mentioned earlier. The vascular supply to the brain, the blood supply to the brain has to be maintained in order for the mitochondria to get the oxygen they need to be able to do their job, because you can have as many mitochondria in there as you want. If they're not getting the oxygen, then they're not able to function. One of the discoveries we made a couple of years ago, actually now, was we found that mitochondria actually have the protein hemoglobin in them. And this hadn't been shown before, but hemoglobin, we know as well, is a very important buffering protein, but it also, its most well-known function is to bind oxygen. So one of the things that we're also interested in is how mitochondria make up for, you know, temporary dips in oxygen availability. So say we're not moving around as much anymore, say we're not getting that blood supply up into all the little bits of our brain that need it. What do the mitochondria do about that, about a reduced supply of oxygen? And perhaps, you know, the role of hemoglobin in the mitochondria has something to do with that. And, you know, again, that study that we did suggested that in Parkinson's disease and also in aging animals, there are differences in hemoglobin protein in the mitochondria. So it's all linked together. I think many people are looking for that magic bullet where you can just take a tablet and it will mimic exercise, that exercise tablet. The research that we're doing with the carbonic anhydrase, we can now start to look at carbonic anhydrase inhibitors to reduce the quantity of carbonic anhydrase in the mitochondria and perhaps extend, you know, the useful lifetime of the cell. So perhaps if we do some experiments looking at exercise to see if carbonic anhydrase is reduced or if natural carbonic anhydrase inhibitors are increased, then we can start dissecting out the interplay between exercise, mitochondrial health, and these proteins that we really think are quite important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just texting somebody because, you know, I just thought of something, right? We understand that the mitochondria undergoes a switch to anaerobic respiration as one of the early changes that happen in a cell that mutates to cancer. And, you know, we're looking at substrate utilization. We're looking at calcium infiltration, you know, which we know that, like, alcoholics, their mitochondria becomes bogged down with calcium and they become dysfunctional. We're looking at, but one of the things that you just said, and I thought to myself, my God, why are we not looking at blood flow and the capacity to carry oxygen to the cells as the reason that the mitochondria goes, okay, we need to shift into a life-saving mode because we're just not getting enough oxygen, so we're going to switch to anaerobic respiration. What if that is a key player in the conversion of the mitochondria to switch to anaerobic respiration?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a certain amount of work going into that kind of, you know, the circulation to the cells and the, you know, supply of oxygen to the cells. But the actual sort of the content of the mitochondria and how that changes and the switches within the mitochondria and that tell it that, you know, this is not a good environment for you anymore and you have to change the way you're working, that's the kind of thing that we're really interested in now.
So these carbonic anhydrase inhibitors are currently a class of drugs that are used for ulcers. They're used to treat glaucoma. They are even some of them that are diuretics. Do they have side effects?
So I think I guess all drugs have side effects. In glaucoma, they're used specifically as eye drops because, you know, so it's relatively easy to access the eye. So the eye drops just, you know, affect the area where there's glaucoma. So I think they're tolerated really, really well because the whole body doesn't have to deal with the carbonic anhydrase inhibitor. Previously, they did use them systemically, and they did have some, I think, uncomfortable side effects, but they weren't unsafe. And they still use carbonic anhydrase inhibitors as diuretics for acute altitude sickness. So they are in use, and they can be used in the body. So, you know, there's something out there that, you know, we could try, essentially. And this is sort of something that we're doing as well with our worms. We're trying all the different carbonic anhydrase inhibitors now to see if we can extend that lifespan after decreasing it with the increased carbonic anhydrase.
So carbonic anhydrase inhibitors will cause the body to produce a lot less bicarbonate and could result in metabolic acidosis. Why not just take sodium bicarbonate a couple, three times a day? I take fairly high doses of transdermal vitamin D. And I also recognize that supplemental vitamin D has been associated with tissue calcification.
Mm-hmm.
Tissue calcification is also a byproduct of chronic kidney disease because people with chronic kidney disease end up with supraphysiological levels of cholecalciferol, vitamin D3, floating around in their bloodstream that leads to tissue calcification. As little as 600 milligrams of sodium bicarbonate three times a day completely mitigates the, doesn't lower the vitamin D levels, but mitigates the tissue calcification. So, you know, I've been taking, I take sodium bicarbonate twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. I take a level, a half a teaspoon, which some doctors would say is a lot because of the sodium, but I'm not worried about sodium. I sweat a lot. I train hard. I sit in saunas three, four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just start taking, why shouldn't people just start taking sodium bicarbonate to help? Obviously, the mitochondria wants a more alkaline environment. It's producing this bicarbonate. Why not just supplement with it as we age?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of thinking about it. I think what we need to really appreciate at this point, though, is that carbonic anhydrase per se is not, it's not bad. We need a certain level of it.
Right.
In the young tissues, we don't see no carbonic anhydrase. We do see a certain level of it. So, you know, if people who are young and healthy are taking something to reduce their carbonic anhydrase levels or, you know, the effects of carbonic anhydrase, then actually if you look at people who don't produce any carbonic anhydrase at all, they do get those calcification symptoms. It's very rare. So I think it's really important to think about where you are in life, monitoring all these, being able to monitor all these various different potential targets and then being able to treat them as we see them moving away from normal or healthy. I think it's difficult to say everybody should take this at age so-and-so. We all age differently. We all age at different rates. And it's really important, I think, now to develop these biomarkers so that we can test to see, okay, somebody's doing really well, somebody's doing really well. They're 60 years old, they're 65 years old, and their markers all look like they always have. And then when they get a little bit older, okay, we see these markers changing. Now we need to put something into place. Or you could do things that don't perhaps interfere with the chemistry in some sort of unknown way, because we don't know how much sodium bicarbonate you would need to take for your system to be able to process it and to be able to deal with it in every other aspect of its action.
Right.
So, you know, it's intricate. It's a careful balance, I think. If we give, for example, for our worm experiments, if we give carbonic anhydrase inhibitors from day one, they don't live as long.
Interesting. Well, but if so, you give, but again, if you give carbonic anhydrase inhibitors, it will reduce the amount of bicarbonate produced by the mitochondria, and hence could potentially cause metabolic acidosis on a cellular level. So I can understand why that would inhibit lifespan, for sure. I can see that. And you're right. You can't just go willy-nilly, because everything is under the curve. Sometimes too little and too much have the same effect. But right. but from a standpoint of, I mean, we have bomb calorimeters now that people attach to their iPhones, and they can actually check the amount of respiratory acid coming out of their lungs. And, you know, I kind of feel like a little bit of sodium bicarbonate has so, like, pleiotropic benefits to the body, and would not necessarily reduce carbonic anhydrase, but would definitely reduce the need for as much carbonic anhydrase in an aging cell. If in fact, and this is predicated solely on my perhaps misassumption that the role of carbonic anhydrase is to produce bicarbonate for the cell. We have to take our last commercial break. Just stay with me on that. We'll come back and we'll I'll let you address that on the other side. Stay tuned.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, Leave.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty. We're talking about carbonic anhydrase, an enzyme that plays an important role in mitochondrial function. So obviously, my layperson misassumption is that the role of carbonic anhydrase is to produce bicarbonate. What else does it do, in your opinion, that's critical?
I don't think your layperson assumption is anything other than what the rest of us think. Who are working on this carbonic anhydrase. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's what it does. And that's, you know, what the treatments for glaucoma target, that function of carbonic anhydrase. However, as you also are sort of suggesting, lots of proteins have multiple functions, and it's quite possible that, you know, carbonic anhydrases have alternative functions or alternative effects, even, you know, despite this major function. So we don't actually know. I do think that, you know, its known activity of the conversion of CO2 and water to bicarbonate and protons is actually very relevant for mitochondria. We know that mitochondria use protons for the electron transport chain. So, you know, the production of protons in the vicinity of the mitochondrion could definitely be impacting their function. So it could easily be some part of this known activity of carbonic anhydrase that's important.
So what do you hope lay people and clinicians take away from this most recent research?
Our first aim really was to show that mitochondria are different in different tissues. They're different at different age points. And that, you know, that gives us an opportunity actually to modulate mitochondrial function and to find biomarkers within the mitochondrial proteome. Or actually, we've got work coming out about the lipidome, the lipids in mitochondria as well. It gives us an opportunity to go in there, find markers, find targets, and to be able to modulate those either by diet or exercise, or, you know, maybe more easily for a certain part of the population through, you know, pharmaceutical intervention. So really, I think what we'd like people to think a little bit about is how, you know, how each person ages differently and how you can look after yourself in order that you can, you know, look after your mitochondria, which I guess you know, the key to a lot of the problems with aging, with dysfunctional mitochondria.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about my work.
Yes, and please, I hope that as new research comes forth that you'll think about us and you'll come back on.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on this discussion about anti-aging, but from a more practical application standpoint with Dr. Robert Willicks. Stay tuned.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. Iron Mag Labs.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated, with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. So the first half of our show was dedicated to some emerging science about mitochondrial function and its role on aging as we focus on a protein, an enzyme. But now we're going to talk to somebody who's actually living the anti-aging lifestyle and promoting it at his practice, Dr. Robert Willicks. How you doing, Dr. Willicks?
I'm doing great, and you?
Wonderful, wonderful. So before we get started talking about your new book, which is Healthy at 100, I want to talk about your journey into anti-aging medicine, because I've been doing this radio show for 11 years now, and one of the things I've learned, or I've noticed, is a lot of physicians who start out in ER medicine go into anti-aging medicine. That was your situation as well, right?
No, actually, I was a heart surgeon.
Oh, okay, even better, even better. So you were seeing people after they were broken. It was too, you know, they're coming to you, and they're like, oh, this is years and years of bad lifestyle. Here, fix me.
Correct. That's how I started my career. I started the first open heart surgery program in the state of South Dakota in my early 30s.
So what happened? Did one day you just go, you know, I'm just tired of working with people who have not done the right thing for 30 years and want me to fix them. I'm going to start getting on the front end of this and helping people live a healthy lifestyle?
You know, it's interesting. Two things happened. Number one, I was operating on a guy that was the same age as I was when I was 34. And his risk factors for heart disease and mine were about the same. I didn't have a family history. He didn't have a family history. I didn't have high cholesterol. He didn't have high cholesterol. He had a high-stress job. I was stopping the heart every day, not sleeping a lot, gaining weight. He was obese or, you know, gaining weight. And, you know, I just looked at it and I said, you know what? These people don't understand that they can prevent this disease. And if I don't watch out, I'm going to be one of them.
Wow.
And I made a transition at that moment in time. It was in the operating room. I was doing a bypass on a guy who was 34 when I was 34, and I made a decision to change my lifestyle. And, you know, that's how it started with me. I did it myself first, and then I started telling people, before you come to me for your heart surgery, why don't you try to do a little exercise? And I changed their nutrition. And after a while, I did that year in and year out, it's a very long story and a long journey, because that happened in 1981. I eventually quit heart surgery to teach people how to stay healthy.
So you just said something that is interesting to me, and that is that you started to talk to people about nutrition. This is as far away from the average physician's daily jargon as you can get, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, because we didn't learn it in medical school. No one taught us that, the importance of nutrition. They just taught us, you know, how to diagnose things and fix them. There was no concept of preventive medicine back when I started in the late 70s and early 80s. There was no concept of that. Today, it's much more mainstream. People know the importance of exercise. They know the importance of nutrition. They still don't know what to do, but they know it. You know, I mean, they know how important it is. And even in, you know, the physicians are beginning to recognize the power of lifestyle in changing. I think you mentioned something about the show before. I hope you're talking about epigenetics, which is the way your DNA is modified by your lifestyle. So,
while we weren't specifically talking about epigenetics, we're talking about a new study that was just published. Showing a link between carbonic anhydrase, an enzyme produced in the cell for the mitochondria, and mitochondrial dysfunction and increased aging or cellular senescence. And
well,
so
you
we were
talking
about that specifically.
Well, you ought to have a show on methylation if you're going to do that, because the whole process of methylation has to do with the histone and protecting the DNA. But that's not why you're calling me.
No. And quite frankly, What I discovered in this interview was the role of carbonic anhydrase is to produce bicarbonate to help keep the cellular gradients for electrical energy. And right. And I said, well, why not just supplement with some sodium bicarbonate? That's been an anti-aging remedy for many, many years now.
Correct.
But, of course, most mainstream physicians want to go right to a pharmaceutical approach.
Correct.
And you know, I'm like, nah, but exercise came into discussion as well. So talk about yourself. So when you decided to do this, did you consult any colleagues or did you just go embark on this on your own?
No, there wasn't anybody to consult. I mean, my, you know, this was back in the late 70s, so I had to kind of learn it my own. I, you know, I changed. I became a vegetarian back in 1977 because of information that I read about the risk of heart disease, and then I started exercising, and I'd been an athlete all my life until I graduated from college, and then, of course, medical school and residency took me out of the picture, you know, because I was in the hospital all the time. But then I started running, and I eventually, you know, ran my first marathon in 1978. And so I started running. I changed my nutrition. I learned to meditate. I made all the lifestyle changes I talked to my clients and patients about are the lifestyle changes I made back when I was in my mid-30s, and I did it because I thought, you know, Hippocrates said that the physician should be the teacher, and if you're going to be a teacher, you have to do what you teach. Otherwise, don't teach it, because nobody's going to listen to an obese physician who's telling him to get out there and exercise it or lose weight or change their nutrition when they're, you know, smoking and drinking and living an unhealthy lifestyle. They're just not going to listen. They won't pay attention to you.
We did a show last year about a study that showed that the number of physicians who aren't even having the discussion with their patients. And I presented the question to the researcher and said, is it possible that the reason that these doctors aren't having this discussion with their patients, because they themselves are obese, they themselves are unhealthy, they themselves know how many medications they're on. They don't even feel like, how can I tell you need to lose weight? You're going to look at me and go, yeah, you do too, doc.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think that's something that as physicians, we were never taught. No one ever said to us, you know, you're the model for what you're teaching. So, you know, the process started with me and then with the results that I saw when I did that with patients, and eventually I quit heart surgery to come to Florida and teach preventive medicine, which I've been doing since 1981.
Wow. And you are with one of the Cenogenics facilities there in Florida, right?
No, I'm not. I was with Cenogenics until 2000, and I was actually the chief medical officer for all the centers in between 2010 and 2014, and then I resigned my position as chief medical officer and left Cenogenics to pursue other things, including, you know, managing aging, but I wanted to reintroduce other areas of medicine that I use in my practice, which is called Enlightened Living Medicine.
So tell me about the two areas of medicine that you include in your practice that maybe a lot of the other anti-aging facilities aren't focusing on.
Well, one of them is obviously the power of epigenetics and how your epigenetic profile dictates the energy of your body and how it changes the chemistry at the cellular level. The other thing that I do when I then other anti-aging physicians do is I've been doing a test called a VO2 since 1981. It's one of the easiest ways to show people how physiologically healthy they are. It measures their oxygen or fuel consumption. Just like you would measure the fuel consumption of a car, it measures the fuel consumption of the human body. And you can show them the power of how important it is for them to improve their energy from a cardiac function point of view. So I do a VO2 on everybody. I do epigenetics on most people. I don't really concentrate just on looking at the hormones, which I think a lot of age management or anti-aging physicians do. I'm an expert in teaching how to exercise because I've been teaching it and doing it for so long. And I also always incorporate some form of meditation, which is unheard of. And because I've been vegan for as many years as I have, I can teach people that, you know, that want to, how to at least shift part of their lifestyle into a vegetarian lifestyle, which obviously reduces the risk of diabetes and heart disease and improves their overall telomeres and shortening of their telomeres, et cetera. So I spend a lot of time with each client. I don't just look at their labs and say, well, your testosterone level's low, so you need this. I don't do that. I do a full evaluation on people.
But you also do work with hormones as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think that bioidentical hormones are very important in the aging process. I actually think they're much more important than science gives them credit for. So I think as by the age of 30, your hormone levels begin to decline. By the age of 20, your growth hormone levels are declining drastically. So unfortunately, the hormone issue has gotten out of hand because a lot of people are just using hormones without the other lifestyle changes. And I don't think that's correct.
This is really an important discussion. I want to stop here for a second. So I have a cousin named Jane who got on HRT many years ago. She was really obese. She wasn't overweight. She was obese. And like many women her age, she started to self-medicate. She was drinking a lot of wine. But she also went on HRT, but she went on unopposed estrogen. The doctor that she was working with just put her on estrogen only. And about 4 years after that, she developed breast cancer. And of course, she blamed it on the HRT. And what I found astonishing was she didn't think it had anything to do with the fact that she was obese, that her body was just a factory of inflammation. She didn't think it had anything to do with the fact that she consumed alcohol probably 4 or 5 days a week.
No woman should be on unopposed estrogen anyway. I mean, you know, unopposed estrogen is, I mean, it's fine to be on unopposed progesterone, but not unopposed estrogen.
Right. But, I mean, my point is people think that if they get on HRT, that's going to mitigate a bad lifestyle. It's not. You're going to still get sick.
Well, not only that, but I think really the whole science of lifestyle has become really brought to the foreground with the research that now says that meditation, for example, is one of the only ways you can stop the shortening of your telomeres, which really is the way your body ages. If your telomeres are short, you're going to age more rapidly. So for people not to pay attention to that and not pay attention to their stressful lifestyles. And then, as you said, when a woman has a body fat in excess of 30% and the man in excess of 35%, which a lot of people do, as you can see walking around the street, when that occurs, you change the hormones within your body, and so taking them isn't going to fix that.
Right.
Your estrogen receptors, your progesterone receptors, your DHEA receptors, your growth hormone receptors, all those things are affected. And then you couple that with the lack of exercise.
More importantly, poor sleep. I mean, so many people just think sleep is optional. I remember watching the movie Wall Street, where Michael Douglas is on the beach at 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, doing trades in Asia, and he's telling Bud Fox, nobody makes money while they sleep, Bud. And we got this idea that, oh man, sleep is a waste of time. The lack of sleep is leading to most of the cancers that we see today.
Not only that, but talk to people about cancer, they kind of think that's going to happen no matter what they do. It isn't true,
right,
as you just said. But you know what a frightening statistic is?
What?
In 2014, there were $350 million in sales, $350 million in sleeping aids, sleeping pills. The leading one of which, about 85% of which, is Ambien, which was actually written to be taken for temporary sleep disturbances for 10 to 15 days,
right,
not for a lifetime.
Right.
And And now it's said that even those people who take it short term increase their risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Well, sure. Because what, one of the things that people don't talk about when they talk about Ambien is it alters sleep architecture. You're not
correct.
You know, people think that because you're laying still with your eyes shut for 8 hours, you're sleeping. You're not sleeping any more than if I club you with a bat and you are knocked out for 8 hours. That was a good night's sleep. Yeah.
Right. Sleep is very, 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 very important in the process. And that's another reason why I think you need to look at the SNPs, the single nucleotide polymorphisms that control norepinephrine, epinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine, all of which are controlled by your sleep pattern. I mean, are controlled by your neurohormones, and those are interfered with when you take sleep aids.
Yes. I want to take a break, and I want to come back, and I want to talk more about meditation. For selfish reasons as well for the audience. We're talking right now with Dr. Robert Willix. His book is Healthy at 100. You can get it at Amazon.com. It comes in a Kindle version as well as a paperback. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Robert Willicks. His book is Healthy at 100. So I took Transcendental Meditation in 1993. And for a long time, I meditated twice a day,
right,
the way they tell you to. And then children and family, and then I started meditating once a day. And then we are here today where I only meditate if I'm too stressed out and I feel like I need to bring myself down. I can get into a deep meditation very quickly.
Right.
I don't meditate anymore. So I'm your patient. I'm sitting with you. Tell me what I tell me. Give me your strongest argument of why I should start to do this again.
Your central nervous system is the major organ in your body that processes all your senses: touch, smell, seeing, hearing. All those things go into your central nervous system. So just an anecdotal or a metaphor, you take better care of your teeth than you do your central nervous system.
Yeah, I do.
You brush your teeth once or twice a day. You dental floss once or twice a day. You do nothing to your central nervous system when you don't meditate. Meditation is like dental flossing your brain. It's a way to eliminate. So the reason you were taught to meditate twice a day, you probably forgot. The morning meditation was done to relieve the stressors from years and years of accumulation, and the evening meditation was giving you an opportunity to remove the stressors of the day.
Uh-huh.
So the reason you did it twice a day was to get rid of the past and to make sure that the future didn't have any added stress.
This makes perfect sense, because anybody who's going through a traumatic time knows that upon waking up in the morning is when you feel the worst, you feel the loneliest if you've lost a loved one, you feel the saddest, you feel all of those pressures because the brain is open and those thoughts just flow in.
Yep.
That makes perfect sense. That's why the morning meditation.
Yes. Now, the other reason that you need to meditate is it's the only known way to clear, to regularize your brain waves during the wake state. So I always tell people, the first year of your meditation, which you did many years ago, I think you said 1992.
Yes.
You learned Transcendental Meditation.
Yes.
So the first year of your meditation was really a practice. It was really to see how well you would learn to do it. And you learned to do it well enough that you continued to do it for years and years and years. And then because of the benefits it gave you, you forgot why you started.
Yeah, it's like people who have insurance, right?
Right.
Your home never catches fire, so you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it.
So when I went to learn my first form of meditation, I said to the instructor, the reason that I want to learn to meditate is I need better ways to manage my time. And he said, I promise you, if you do this twice a day for 1 year, you'll have more time on your hands than you know what to do with. And if you don't, come back and see me. I never went back to see him, and I've been meditating since 1987. Now, I think it's very, very, I mean, actually before this call I meditated because I had 10 minutes to meditate, and I didn't meditate this morning because I had a dental appointment. And I always remember to do my meditations twice a day. Because of that, the other thing about meditation is it's the only scientific proof that you can regularize your theta waves, which give you better sleep, more ways that you can manage stressful situations. Meditators live 3 to 5 years longer and more productively than non-meditators. Now, it's not going to make you, You know, it's not the only answer, but it certainly is an answer to healthy longevity. If you have a heart attack and you're a meditator, you're more likely to survive it 65% of the time.
Really?
If you have cancer and you're a meditator, you're more likely to survive it 35 to 40% greater than the average person. So meditation not only prolongs your productive life, which is important because most people, you know, I really think it's important to say, okay, it's good to be healthy at 100, but you don't want to be healthy at 100, you know, sitting in a wheelchair.
Right.
So you got to do something to prevent yourself from being an unhealthy centenarian. And that's what preventive medicine is about. It's about teaching you how to be healthy at 100. And meditation is a very, very, very important component of that. And in fact, if I had only one thing that you would allow me to do as a physician, it would be to teach everybody how to meditate.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. And now I've been a derelict of it. And I do have
to
start
doing.
Well,
just cut your time back and do it 5 minutes twice a day. It's better than not doing
it at all. I can get into a very deep state very, very quickly. In fact, I've had some amazing experiences meditating. And I first learned about meditation from Ram Dass when I lived in Las Vegas. He did a seminar at UNLV. And I went there. Then in the 90s, as a birthday present, my then wife gave me Transcendental Meditation. And I went, and back then it was only $300, by the way. Today it's like $1,800 to take TM, which I'm flabbergasted by.
But, well, I think that, you know, TM system and, you know, Transcendental Meditation was brought into the United States by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Yeah, he was with the Beatles, right? He was the Beatles, Maharishi, right?
Well, the Beatles were with the Maharishi. He wasn't with the Beatles.
Well, you know what I mean. They popularized him here in the United States.
Well, actually, what popularized the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was bringing in Ayurveda into the United States.
Mm, okay.
So Maharishi brought in Ayurvedic medicine, which is the oldest form of natural medicine in the world. And I actually am one of 300 trained physicians during that period, MDs that have actually been trained in Ayurveda when the Vaidyas from India would come here to teach us. And then Deepak Chopra popularized Ayurveda with his first book, Perfect Health.
Yes.
But meditation has always been an important part of the Vedic literature. But now we know not only is it important in China and with Tai Chi and Qigong and in India with different forms of mantra-driven meditation, but around the world. I mean, everyone that can investigate. Meditation has more science written about it than almost anything in the United States. If you go to research at usagov.com, you'll see more meditation funded NIH projects because they were trying to, you know, prove or disprove that it worked. So there's a lot of science on meditation. And of course, then, you know, we have mindfulness meditation and other forms. So now there's a lot of different forms of meditation, not just TM. So you don't have to spend $1,800 to learn. And actually, it's better to learn by a teacher, but if you don't have $1,800, you can certainly learn meditation a lot cheaper.
You can learn it on YouTube nowadays. There's free meditation courses on YouTube, and some of them are very good. I've looked at them.
But it does do good. When you learn TM, if you remember, you learned TM, you sat with your instructor.
Yep.
Your instructor had you come back in 30 days for checking, and you went back periodically for checking.
And in fact, I could go back tomorrow morning if I want.
Correct.
Your lifetime a member
mantra.
Once you, yeah, right. exactly.
And so therefore it might be worthwhile to go back for checking.
I want to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to switch the discussion over. I want to talk about growth hormone and peptides.
Okay.
I'm sure that you're probably up on a lot of the emerging peptides. I'd like to get your opinion on Frank growth hormone replacement versus using secretagogues. We're talking right now with Dr. Robert Willicks. His book is Healthy at 100, and he is living the life, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know
not a properly used carbohydrate to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Robert Willix, the author of Healthy at 100, 7 Steps to a Century of Great Health. You know, when we first started talking about anti-aging medicine on this show some 11 years ago, everybody got us confused with creams that would make your skin look better, or dyeing your hair and chasing younger women. And I used to say, no, anti-aging medicine is about mitigating age-related disease. And it's correct. Finally become, you know, mainstream. Back then, it wasn't mainstream. We were all zealots. But back then, we talked about the role of growth hormone in aging. And right. In fact, a lot of people used to say that growth hormone was not an anti-aging peptide because, those with acromegaly or rats with overproducing pituitary glands, they tend to live shorter lives. But just recently, just last week, a study was published that showed that growth hormone and the IGF-1 axis influence clotho and reduce telomere shortening by improving telomerase production. So now we can say, you know what? There is a healthy place for growth hormone. There's obviously too little. There's too much. That's that curve taking place again. But yes, growth hormone can have an anti-aging effect. So with that being the case, when appropriate, do you still look to growth hormone, or do you prefer secretagogues like GHRP 6 and Imperamorelin, these types of things?
I use both, but I prefer to so there's an effect, there's a growth hormone effect when you balance the other hormones. Remember that growth hormone is really not a hormone. It's a polypeptide. So you said it before, it's not a hormone, it's a polypeptide. So you can use secretagogues to try and replace some of the 154 polypeptides or peptides in growth hormone, but the reality is nothing in the literature has shown complete the same results as you get from growth hormone. So my answer to your question is, do I use growth hormone sparingly? I do. Do I use it for athletic performance? Never. Do I use it for individuals who have age-related illnesses? Absolutely. And do I think that it's important? Yes. The secretagogues, particularly what you refer to, GHRP and GHRP6, and the polypeptides, I believe are most beneficial in my experience, and I'm only talking about 20 plus years of doing this, because I started using growth hormone in 97, so that's less than 20 years, 19 years.
Okay.
So in my experience, there have been a lot of secretagogues come on and off the market, and I think that, you know, GHRP and GHRP6, and some of the other, injectable, I think, can stimulate growth hormone production, in particular in people under the age of 60. I have not found it to have the same effect over the age of 60. Now, that's also true of stimulating your own body to make testosterone with human chorionic gonadotropin, which is a substitute for LH, versus using testosterone itself. So I think younger people tend to have pituitaries and organs, ovaries and testicles, that are more responsive to secretagogues or to stimulating the organ to produce more of something. Individuals older have less of an effect. So my general feeling is, over the age of 60, I always use testosterone. Under the age of 60, I may use a combination of testosterone and HCG.
Right.
Over the age of 60, I'm more likely to use growth hormone than I am to use a secretagogue. But I still would try the secretagogue. I think the beauty of the secretagogues is, if you get a growth hormone effect, you know that it's the body making its own. So that's the beauty of using secretagogues. When you're injecting growth hormone, you're just assisting the body, just like taking a substitute for thyroid when your thyroid functions are abnormal. I believe, however, that growth hormone is much, much, much more important. And if it weren't for the athletic abuse of it, I think we'd have a lot more positive research on this than we could ever have had. The problem is that, as you know, it is the only drug that a physician cannot use for off-label use.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Now you do.
Yeah.
It's a drug we could use to help Alzheimer's disease, to help, you know, debilitating sarcopenia, which is muscle loss. I mean, I think it's a great, great, great hormone. And I don't think it has any of the side effects that traditional medicine talks about, because when they talk about acromegaly and they talk about, you know, dwarfism, you're right. They're two different ends of the spectrum.
Right.
What about supplementing something that your body needs? And your body needs growth hormone as you age, because your growth hormone levels go down. So if there's evidence now that growth hormone, because the initial research on growth hormone and telomeres was not very potent. In fact, it was questionable whether or not it did help telomerase and it did help the short telomeres. So if you're talking about a study that shows that growth hormone stops short telomeres from developing, not medium-length telomeres, but short telomeres, I'm all for it. I think it should be used more often than it is.
The magic was in the IGF-1 GH ratio.
Yeah.
It's a great study. It really is.
The problem with IGF-1, as you know, is there's two places you get IGF-1.
Yeah, dietary.
But also there's an IGF-1 that's produced in the brain, and there's an IGF-1 that's broken down in the liver. So it's difficult to correlate IGF-1 always with growth hormone levels. And we don't have a test for growth hormone. You know, the test that we use in children is not valid in adults. We've used it many, many years ago, but it doesn't work. So, you know, insulin provocative test to prove you have a deficiency. So you have to use the IGF-1 in the blood. But remember, growth hormone is a pulsatile hormone. So you can't just measure IGF-1 once. You got to measure it a couple of times to find out where you are in the cycle, because you could have high IGF-1 levels in the morning and low IGF-1 levels later in the day, because it's a pulsatile hormone.
Well, wouldn't 24-hour urine collection be the standard?
Yes, it'd be ideal. Ideal. Yes.
But no one wants to do that. I mean, it's too troublesome.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, there's a lot of controversy or always been controversy, and I think the fact that athletes have used it for performance enhancement has made the problem even worse, because now you have something that could benefit the general public being overly used or abused in a population of professionals or athletes.
This idea that testosterone and growth hormone have been abused by athletes, so therefore there needs to be this clamp effect by the DEA and the authorities having jurisdiction on doctors who prescribe it, is complete bunk to me. Because you know what else is abused by athletes, but a doctor can write prescription for it all day long? And that is Ritalin, right? All those amphetamines that are given to ADHD children, we have athletes abusing those. They go to the doctor and say, you know, doc, I have a trouble time. They know what to say. I'm having a hard time concentrating. You know what? We're going to give you this Ritalin. Meanwhile, he just wants it because it gives him energy, and they're abusing those. But you don't see the DEA going after anybody, because that's a pharmaceutical drug with big bucks behind it. Growth hormone
And it's not controlled by the DEA.
Yeah, the whole growth hormone.
I agree with you 100% as far as your assessment of this. And I think, but the problem is that, remember, standard allopathic medicine stands behind what the DEA is saying. And most, you said that, you know, 11 years ago when you started talking about anti-aging, and now it's become more mainstream. Is it really mainstream? Do you think most physicians believe that testosterone, growth hormone, and hormone secretagogues are beneficial to the average person? If they were, they'd all be using it. They're not.
No, I don't. I got to tell you why I disagree. I mean, I've made so many friends with so many physicians, and some of them at very, very high up positions as administrators in hospitals from doing the show over the years. And I used to rail against physicians. I railed against them because I felt that they were derelict of their duties, because they were kowtowing and playing to the pharmaceutical agenda. But what I've learned is their hands are tied. Unless they want to break out of the mold like you did and take this chance and go to maybe a more concierge style of medicine, which, by the way, is becoming much more appealing to a lot of physicians today, given the fact that the healthcare system is in such disarray and they can't even get paid for the services that they provide now.
Correct.
But I mean, a lot of them, they know about this stuff, but what are they going to do? It's like they got to go in, they got to push the drugs, they got to do what they have to do. They have a special. And so I got to tell you something. I feel sorry for physicians. I never used to feel sorry for them before, because they come out of school burdened with unimaginable debt, and they just need to get to work. And unfortunately, there's nobody going, hey, how would you like to practice what I like to call optimistic medicine instead of pessimistic medicine, which is fixing broken people? No one says that to them. They just go right like little cogs in the wheel. They get in their position and they work, and that's it.
That's true, but it's less true now than it was 10 years ago. They have options today, and they not, you know, but I think you're right about physicians. The other thing they're strapped with is they're strapped with what they learned in medical school.
Yeah.
And they don't really look at, I mean, the average person walking down the street knows more about supplements than 90% of the practicing doctors do. They don't study those things. They don't study nutrition. They don't study nutraceuticals. They don't study the alternatives because in part they're so busy. They have to see so many people to make a living. So I agree with you. I feel sorry for them too, but there are options. They can make a shift. And even if it's a minor shift, you know, one day a week practicing a brand of medicine where they begin to educate their clients on the value of things, even if it's one day a week, they'll be more fulfilled than if they continue doing what they're doing. And I agree, they have to make a living. And they're being squeezed from the insurance companies, they're being squeezed from, the government, everybody is squeezing them. And so it's totally different than it used to be.
Suicides are up amongst recently graduated doctors from medical school. Suicides are up. There's even people writing books about this now. Doctors live in a world of pressure.
Yep.
That is all consuming. Again, it's very, very sad, but I kind of feel like, you know, something's about to happen. We got this healthcare system that's falling apart in front of us. We have doctors not getting paid for their work any longer. I think doctors are going to actually lead the charge in the next 10, 15 years to this new type of medicine. We're going to see a renaissance in medicine. That's my hope.
I agree, and I think one of the areas that's going to three scientific areas are going to bring them to it. One is stem cells,
mm-hmm.
one is epigenetics, and the other one is the microbiome.
Yeah, I know.
The GI.
Let's do this. Let's take our break. Let's talk about the microbiome. We do a lot on the microbiome on the show. I want to get your take on it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. In the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced.
And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Robert Willits. His book is Healthy at 100, 7 Steps to a Century of Great Health. The younger you are, the more important it is to start reading this book now. This is not for old people. This book is for people who plan on getting old. I've said on this show a couple times now that age is not just a number, it's a goal.
Correct.
The goal is to age, not to die young, and definitely not age in a wheelchair, in an institution, waiting for someone to change your diaper. It doesn't have to be that way. So let's talk about the microbiome. It's an emerging area of research. We've done a lot to talk about it over the past few years. What's your take on it?
Well, my take on it is obviously the science is now, coming to show that, you change your microbiome with, your nutrition to start with, but you're born with a normal microbiome. And so my take on it is if you're born by C-section, you have a different microbiome than if you're born by vaginally. And now there's research to say that a child born by C-section has a greater incidence of asthma and other allergic tendencies. So the microbiome is obviously an important balancing in all forms of health, especially your immune system. And I think that there's a normal biome for the human being that has been getting altered by the overuse of medications and antibiotics. And unfortunately, at this point in time, I don't know that we know the answer to how to correct it all. I think we know that probiotics are important. I think we know that, how you eat and where you get your nutrients from are important, and that we've altered the soil, we've altered the nutritional value of our foods. So my take on microbiome is that it's going to become a new science, that the science is going to be that we're going to actually be able to individually measure what you're missing, what bacteria are more important for you to replenish, and we're going to be able to find a way to reinstall the normal biome for you, and you're going to get healthier because of it. I think the rising incidence of autoimmune diseases and other inflammatory diseases clearly indicates that we have made a huge shift in our microbiome
by nutritional indiscretions that we've chosen to make. I mean, you know, the additives in our food and things like that, the antibiotics that we've used inadvertently for things that we didn't need antibiotics for are definitely changing the bacterial flora. And I think the science of microbiome is going to be a way for physicians to rethink the lifestyle choices that we make. That's my take on it.
So we've done quite a bit on the area of microbiome, and one of the things that I'm starting to understand better is we focus on microbes. We're not focusing on fungi. So when we talk about the microbiome, the fungi is excluded completely, and we need to start talking about the fungi as well, because there's good fungi and there's bad fungi, just like there's good microbes and there's bad microbes. And fungi plays a similar role in the ability to A, metabolize certain nutrients, and B, produce chemicals that either are good for our body or bad for our body. So I'm hoping that microbiome scientists start to look at the environment in the gut and not just say, I mean, it would be like you and I going to the forest and all we're interested in is ferns. Oh, look at the ferns. Meanwhile, we're not paying attention to anything else. None of the other flora or fauna that is in the forest. And we're acting like this ecosystem is only about ferns. That's my fear about the microbiome research today. The microbiome, microbes are prokaryocytes, and fungi are eukaryocytes. Fungi have nucleus. Fungi are more advanced than microbes. And fungi gather microbes the way we gather pets. And they all work together. So when you take one given microbe, and it could be an innocuous microbe, but then you pair it with this fungi, all of a sudden it becomes bad. So we need to start to look at what role fungi play in the promotion of a healthy microbiome, which is sorely missed right now.
I don't know that that's completely true. I think the people who are actually studying, you know, microbiome patterns are not ignoring the fungi.
Well, I've done a lot of shows on microbiome and have done so for the past few years, and we've had some of the thought leaders on microbiome science on the show. They never ever talk about fungi. They only talk about Bacteroidetes and Firmicutes and this microbe and that microbe. I never ever have heard any of them talk about fungi, and I think it's because they're looking solely at microbes.
Yeah, yet it's interesting when you say that, because when you change the bacterial content of the biome, right?
Right.
Whether it's oral or vaginal, or whether you change the pH of the vagina, or you change the GI tract, or you change the one thing that pops up all the time is Candida.
Yeah. This is my point. The fungus,
it's there. So everybody knows it's there, living in symbiosis.
But we're not addressing it. We're not addressing it. The Gestalt.
Well, those of us that talk about the GI tract certainly understand the implications that if you change the symbiotic relationship between the bacteria and the fungus, you're going to have overgrowth of the fungus, just like sterilizing, just like a bacteria infection that you treat. If you over-treat it with the same antibiotics over and over again, you're going to get bacterial resistance.
Right.
So I think it's there, but I think it may be too complex to bring into, we're still trying to understand the microbiome itself without, complicating it with enough. I mean, it's hard enough to get medicine to change, as you know.
Right. But the challenge is, so when we talk about microbiome science on the show, sometimes there are new patterns that can't be explained.
Right.
We know that geography and equatorial positioning and Bacteroidetes and energy utilization, we know all these things, and we say, well, gee, but it doesn't always happen. And it may be that we're not looking at the role of the fungi in the gut contributing to what we think is exclusively a result of the microbes, and this is why we're not seeing the results that we want to see. I just am excited for the potential for those scientists who are doing this research to start to include fungi and the role of fungi incident upon the microbiome and the microbes. And I think that we're going to learn a lot in the upcoming years as a result of that. I want to plug your book again, Healthy at 100. This book is not for old people. This book is for young people who want to grow old and be healthy and strong. You can get it at Amazon.com. 7 Steps to a Century of Great Health. The time to get started is in your 30s, folks. It's available on Kindle and paperback there. Listen, Dr. Willits, I want to thank you for making time to come on the show today.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. And just know that my current practice is in Boca, Enlightened Living Medicine.
Okay, so if you're in the area, give them a call. What's the number there, Doc?
561-362-0724.
Call Dr. Willits and tell him you heard about him on Superhuman Radio and say hello. Listen, I'm going to start meditating, I promise, okay?
All right. Good.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, we're going to call the end of this show right now. We also want to thank Dr. Lisa. What was her last name? Isn't that funny? I'm getting bad with names lately. Dr. Lisa Chakrabarty for coming on and talking about mitochondria function and aging. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Supreme Radio. It's Tuesday, so we'll have the Blueprint Power Hour. I do remember that. See you tomorrow.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million...